what we want to do is to cast concepts of content. We want to cast concepts of content. And we hope that it will be inspiring because it's all revolved around our 2022 theme. And everybody said, praise God. The point here is this, is that I know already, and I discovered it in the first service, that I cannot complete this message. Many of y'all already knew that already. I take that, all right? So we're going to already let you know there's going to either have to be a part two, and to be quite honest with you, there might have to be a part three. I can't get any help up in here, amen. My point is that simply this, is that I sincerely want you to know that I know that there's so many parts to it to all come together, and I don't know how many points there are, but we do know that I believe that this is a word right now in season, and I believe, and if you're here and you're watching online or tune in later, that God, I believe, designed it so that this would reach you, shake you up, inspire you, lift you, twist you, turn you, but get something going different for you so that God can show you who he is and wants to be in your life, that you don't have to continue to be who you used to be. Even if you're doing super great, there's greater, because he's greater, and because you're somebody, he wants to let you know he has something for you. Glory to God. What I'm trying to tell you, if you amen me or not, I'm bringing my amen with me. Praise God. How many know if we can share this particular type of content, as this particular picture shares, the hope and desire is that there are people, and I'm not talking about numbers, I'm just talking about where people are attracted to Jesus. Somebody say amen. So, our theme is to help you shine. It's to help you what? I don't want you to be limited in what that means, because when you hear it say help you shine, there is a total picture to this. The total picture is that, yes, we sincerely want to help you shine. We want to help you shine. I myself have taken it on my heart, have already began to do certain things, intentional and praying for and doing different things for the ministry leadership team and the board and for BRICS and for YoBCC and growing in maturity and different facets in the ministry and impact and nursery and all those types of things. But it's because we want to help you shine. But I believe because as God causes you to shine, you're going to go out and want to help others shine. I am sincere when we sit in our meetings that we're saying this, is that when we come to December or when we come to October and November, we want to be able to look out over the community and look out over your neighbors and look out over who you're doing school with and look at people in your family. And we ought to see more people shining because we're being intentional that God wants to cause us to shine so that we can cause others to shine. Glory to God. So therefore, we want to help you shine. We want to help you what?
Shine.
We want to be very specific with each message. And today's message is, as you can see, designed to partner so beautifully with what Pastor Jeremy shared on last week, because he talked about how to shine on purpose or to shine in purpose. And so for those that may not be totally knowing where we are, this is recorded in Philippians chapter 2. And our theme passage is verses 1 to 15. And we have four specific areas that we want to believe we want to help you shine in. Today, these messages deal with part one and two. We'll deal with these two, help you shine in purpose and to help you shine as a person. Can I get you to fill in the blank? To help you shine in? Everybody, to help you shine in? And to help you shine as a? When we talk about help you shine in purpose, we believe why God created you. This is why God created you, because I know that what would be most fulfilling and rewarding for you is that when you live out and fulfill your purpose, there is nothing that will stop you. You would be willing to do anything for God as you are in your God-created purpose. I don't know of a people that cannot be stopped, or people that don't rejoice, people that don't live with a constant smile on their face, that something's going on in their life because they're after the reason that they were created. Somebody say amen. We believe that that's going to bring glory to God. We find that particular in verse 13. No need to turn there because you will see it in the verses. And then we see as a person, want to help you shine as a person. What we mean by that is to help you shine in life, to help you shine in love, to help you shine in leading as children of God who shine as lights in this world. So we want to help you shine in purpose and help you shine as a person. I want you to know that all of our messages now have two different types of titles. This is the first title. I wish you would write it down. It's worth you doing it because this is the clear message. This is the clear title. Brother Derek, who's over our digital media ministry, has put an assignment on me that I've got to share titles that make sense to other people. Are you with me? So therefore, I have to give two different types of titles, and one of the titles have to be clear, and then the other title is for people like me. Are you with me? So for us that understand with clarity what this message is about, this is worth your writing right here. This is worth the value of you being here, is that right now, today, and next week, please know that the total intent is to help you know how to answer God's call upon your life. Say that with me. How to God's upon your. Does that interest anybody? Amen. Praise God, woman of God. Listen. You know what? I know that Pastor Jeremy is a much more serene and a wonderful, humble, and meek man of God, and maybe you forgot to bring your hallelujah with you, but I need you to either call it in robotic here, get it something, put it on your cell phone. I can't roll like that. Amen? I need to let you say praise the Lord or hallelujah or slip out a glory to God or something. Are you with me? Thank you, brother man. I'll be much better over here in this section over here. How to answer God's call upon your what?
Life.
Praise God. I want to share with you a couple of testimonies. As we just mentioned that we're in the midst of American of African descent or Black History Month. So I thought it would be very fitting that you understand that when we look back over some of those that have historically been a part of BCC, I just want you to understand a few testimonies that is worth it all. The first, when we talk about the call, say call. When we talk about the call, I never will forget in the month of December in my undergraduate years, I believe I was a sophomore, that Reverend Keith Ratliff, who was here at the time as the pastor coming from Des Moines, he is now and been longstanding senior pastor of Maple Street Baptist Church. But as a result of him being here, and I was just a sophomore in college, and yes, I was attending BCC, but those words that he shared with me in December, I never can forget because they did not match what I saw about myself, and they most definitely did not match who I thought I would become or anything like that. He said these things to me. He said in December, it was right before semester break, and he says, you know, Taran, I want you to think about becoming a part of our board. I want you to think about becoming a deacon in training. And I was like, board? You mean you need me to go to Lowe's? Are you with me? Amen? Sir, I don't think you understand. I know my life. I mean, you see me on Sunday, but I don't know if you really, really know me like that. My point is that, say call. How many understand as a result of that call that he had asked upon my life, that he believed he was seeing in me something that God was sharing with him, it was because of that call that led to this call. You got to write that down. You didn't get this. Like, you got to catch this. How many know that oftentimes a call is something that you may not see in yourself? That was a good place to say amen, Juwan. In other words, sometimes there's a call on your life because how many know in order to have an answer, you've got to first have a call. So there could be no answer of yes to something that there never was a call. Scripture does warn us never to take these things upon ourselves. So I'm just saying to you, in order to have an answer, there's got to first be a what? Whatever it might be. What Michael did not tell you is that he was an engineer and he works for John Deere. Are you with me? My point is wherever God has called you, you've got to be able to know if you're supposed to what? Answer. Somebody say amen. Talk about Pastor James Ransom, who I call my spiritual father. I never will forget, I was there and we were at the Memorial Union. We was holding service. And I mean, this came from nowhere. I don't know. I think it was during while he was preaching. But it really had nothing to do with what I think was being preached, or maybe God was doing it. I don't know what happened. But while service was going on, he stands up and says, what must I do to be saved? I said, he stood up in the middle of church. Be like right now. He just stood up and says, what must I do to be saved? And I'm trying to get you to understand something about that is that Here it is. This man is towering over most everybody in the room. He played for Iowa State football team as a linebacker. And he stands up. And he stands up. And I don't know what the part of was the message. But when he stood up, there was something that God was doing by calling him to himself. And when God is calling you to himself, God's desire is that you would respond. And I want you to know that he stood up and he asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And he not only, we prayed the prayer of faith with him and he accepted Jesus Christ right there on the spot and on the moment. But I may understand, this wasn't some little religious going through the task or going through the motions. The next day, that was a Sunday, the next day he was going out. He had a girlfriend and they were living together. He went to Nevada, got a marriage license, and they got married that week. You see, when you have a call, you respond with real action. When you get a call on your life, you respond by changing and going the direction of Jesus. With the next day, praise God. Somebody say amen. Fast forward, now he was the pastor of BCC. He wasn't the pastor then, but now pastor of BCC. We were in that room in Memorial Union, second floor, and another young man. While he was ministering, while he was preaching, a young man stood up in the middle of church. Doesn't know anything about him doing that. But he stood up in the middle of church and said, what must I do to be saved? How many know that if God can cause it to happen in one person, God can very well cause it to happen in another. All I'm trying to get you to understand that this guy wasn't playing church. He's weeping and he's crying. I've told the testimony before. He's pointing at his Bible like this. And he was like, he's crying. He says, we just read this last night. He was with a Bible study group the night before. And he was reading Acts chapter 16. And out of that passage of scripture, the young lady was testifying up front with Pastor Ransom. And as they were up there, he stands up and he says, I just read this. I want to know what must I do to be saved. Somebody say amen. Why am I telling you this? Because it's a call. And when you answer a call, things change. This same young man had had about four or five children. Three of those children all had about the same age when he was a teenager. All of them, if they had a birthday all around the same time of being 12 years old, they had three different mothers. All of them had about the same age. And he immediately called all of them and started paying child support and got the rest of them, some of them to come up here and live with him because he wanted to take responsibility for the children in his life. You see, when there's salvation, when there's a call, there's a change. There's a complementary activity, an action that accompanies. It's not just talk. How many know you got to walk the walk? Why y'all getting so quiet up in here? Y'all getting scared up in here. Testimonies mean that God can do it again. Amen? Praise the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, I told you I wanted to read verses 13 to 15. Take a look at this in verse 13 and 14. This is the Amplified Bible. It says this. For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose. To fulfill your what? For his good pleasure. I just don't want anybody to miss this because it's extra long. It is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work for your ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Can I break that down for you? Come on, Carrie, can I break that down? Listen, that scripture means this. You thought it was you trying to get all these things done and dream the dreams and have a destiny. The scripture just said it was both God, both to will, to want it and to do it because he wants to be able to receive pleasure when you're in your purpose. That's a good word. How many know when we're in our purpose, it will glorify God? When you are doing what you are meant to do, God will be glorified. Scripture says this: do everything without murmuring or questioning the providence of God. Verse 15 says it this way: that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you, then you will shine among, you will shine among them like stars in the sky. And that Greek word also means universe. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, like the stars in the universe. Somebody say amen. Amen. Shine as lights in this world. I want you to take a look at those words again of why they were so meaningful. God of creation, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the what? You spoke to the? And fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. Just from one speaking. Are you hearing me? In the vapor of your breath, the planets form. If the stars were made to worship, go ahead and fill in the blank. So will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning what? Every burning what? A signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, then what? So will I. God of salvation, you chased down my heart through all of my failure and pride on a hill you created. How many know that's worth the say last pause right there? On a hill you created, the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to what? Die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life, so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, what does it say? So will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done, every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, then what? I can see your heart a billion different ways, and every precious one, a child you died to save. And if you gave your life to love them, so will I. So will what? Man, some of y'all look like y'all was just caught up in the mystery of that poem right there, amen. Praise God. Say, so will I. Can I share a little bit about stars for a little bit? I want to share with you three major things about stars. And the reason I want you to understand is because in this particular message, one of the things we're doing is we're likening you to stars. We're likening you to what? Only because Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 said that, Kyle. So therefore, Miss Alicia, what we're doing is we're simply looking at it as those stars. So when you see stars, think of yourself. Are you with me? The scripture here, this first one says this: stars are likened to those who turn and lead many to right relationship with God. I want y'all to see this. This is really good teaching. Listen, in this first one, stars are likened to those that lead and turn people. Other scriptures, other translations says turn. Turn people to a relationship with God. So in Daniel chapter 3, quick note. Daniel chapter 3, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 3 is also where scholars believe that Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 comes from. So therefore, when Paul writes Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it's because he was writing and referencing Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Are you with me? Look what it says. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the what?
Stars.
Forever and ever. The scripture just says that when you lead people to Christ, it's like shining brightly like stars forever. Somebody say amen. Maybe that one didn't catch. I'll go to another one. Look at what it says about this kind of star. You're going to like this. Look. In other words, one star differs uniquely from another star in splendor, in glory, and in gifting. I I don't know if you're getting that. Can I treat that a little bit, just a half a second? Because you maybe don't understand how that makes sense. Listen, one star differs uniquely from another star in splendor, glory, and gifting. Let me read the scripture. You'll see it for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 41 says this. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. Does everybody see that? Oh, I'm about to treat this because y'all looking like y'all want to take a nap or y'all want to eat Subway or something. I don't know what's going on. My God, listen here. What that means is this. I don't have to be able to be like you. And you don't have to be able to be like me. One star is gifted in splendor. One star is different from another. What God did with stars is the same of what he's done with us. We don't have to be like each other. I don't have to sing like Peter. I don't like have to preach like the elders. I don't have to run fast like others. I don't need as many muscles as Clee. Why is that? Because I get to be different than him, and I still get to give him glory. Because if you get to be you, you get to splendor. You get to give him glory in the way God created you. He created you uniquely. Therefore, you don't have to compete with anybody. You don't have to be like anybody. God designed you uniquely for yourself. You got your own splendor and light you're supposed to shine. Hallelujah. Oh, wait a minute. You don't have to be like your big sibling. Whoa, I caught somebody there. I heard that in the spirit. I think I did, seriously. You know, I don't even have any brothers and sisters. You know I had to catch that from somebody. I'm not saying it's y'all, but I'm just saying. How many know we put people under shadows too often? And then we say it. Be like yo. Don't get in trouble. I don't want you to get in trouble with your parents, okay? But the next time they say, you know, my big brother has their own ability to shine. I'm supposed to shine like God created me. Somebody say amen. Glory to God. All I'm trying to get us to understand is that since we are designed to be likened unto stars, then why don't we fulfill what stars do? Is everybody with me? One more. You're going to like this one. Look at this. The Holy One brings out starry host and calls them forth each by name. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 says it this way. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Look at this. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by what? Name. Calls them each by what? Name. Wait a minute. How much more does God have to liken us to stars? How many know God calls us and knows us individually and yet neglects none of us? And if you don't believe it, watch what this scripture says. Because of his great power and mighty strength, look, I'm about to shout off this. Not one of them is missing. I said not one of them, Kyle. Irish, not one of them is missing. Let me give it to you this way. What that gets us to be able to rejoice about, what that gets us to be able to shout about, what that gets us to be able to walk in Christ's confidence about is this. That means if none of them are missing, it does not matter what you think you're doing and missed out. It does not matter what regrets you've been holding on. It does not matter that you took a bad turn or a bad path and you think you got offline. I know some of you are counting things against you. I dare you to stop, because as you're counting against you, God is counting for you. Why are you going to try to outcount God? You think for goodness sake that something you did is so big. Let me tell you, God's bigger. No matter what you did wrong, God's righter. No matter how far you fall short, God's longer. Whatever you think you don't have, God has a supply on a cattle of 1,000 hills. Whatever you're missing, God can fill it. What does that mean? That means none of them are missing. None of them are left out. None of them are forgotten. None of them are overlooked. None of them are rejected. None of them are abandoned, because the word says none of them are missing out. My God. My God. Jesus. He calls them out by name. Calls them out by what?
Name.
So that none of them would be left out, Krista. None of them. I think we should know why I'm panting and why this makes such a sense. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Turn to Romans chapter 8. I wish I could take the time here. Let me try to go after it a little more. Listen. I know we are torn inside when somebody is speaking good over you, either the enemy or your memory or something is going on that's just trying to fight it. Because you always are counting what you think you did not do. And God is continually attributing good because of Christ Jesus. So here you are, you talking about you, and God's talking about Jesus. I'm just going to ask you this question. Why are you going to try to be outdo and out bigger than Jesus? How many know what Jesus fulfilled and did is going to always be greater than what you did not do? So therefore, I'm just going to let what he said and what he's done for me be how I see me. I'm going to change the way I see me to the way he sees me. I'm going to stop counting up on my faults. I'm going to stop counting up what people think I did wrong. And I'm going to start turning and fixing my eyes on Jesus who looks at me through his lens. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want to show this to you in Romans chapter 8. Please, if you have your Bible, I would ask that you get it out. I'm going to do this from the New King James Version. I think it's worth your time to check this out. In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 24. It says this, "For we were saved in this hope." We were saved in this what? "But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Now, I need you to highlight that in your Bible or at least write it down because that caught me this week. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our what?
Weaknesses.
In our what?
Weakness.
Can I tell you why this caught me? Because I saw that word weaknesses, and I thought, well, wait a minute. I know I've got some weaknesses. But maybe I forgot that I had help. You know what? You know what? I do have some weaknesses. And how many know there's definitely yourself or the enemy or somebody around you will help you remember that you got weaknesses. I can't get any help up in here. Amen. And that's okay because the scripture just said, and likewise, the Spirit also helps in our what?
Weakness.
I'm going to show you how. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which we cannot be uttered. Did y'all see that? I need y'all to see this. It's going to say it again, but I want you to see it. It says, and the Spirit himself makes intercession. Makes what?
Intercession.
Let me break that word down. That word means prayer. So the Holy Spirit, look, the Spirit himself is praying for us with groanings which we cannot be uttered. Okay, so in my weakness, the Holy Spirit is praying for me. Okay. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints. There it is again. For where the mind of the Spirit is, because he's making intercession or prayers for us, the saints, according to the will of God. Does everybody see that? And now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are what? Those who are what? According to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. He also what?
Called.
What's the name of the message? How to answer God's what?
Called.
It says he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, I want you to catch and follow that when we started up at verse 29. He predestined us, and then he also called us. He also justified us. And as he justified us, then he also glorified us. Are you with me? Can I get you to jump to verse 33 and actually what we call 33b, which is the second part of verse 33. Now, I want you to understand that it said he also justified us. But watch what it says literally. It is God who justifies. Do you understand what that means? It means that we're not justifying ourselves. It's not based on how well you do. It's not based on how good you think you are, or how good you think you got it done, or how goody-two-shoe you are, that you didn't do anything wrong. No. It does not matter. God is the one who justifies. I'm going to say it again. God is the one who justifies on our behalf. So if God justifies us, then that must mean that's God who calls us. Is it right with me? Can I show you the rest of it? You're going to like it. It says this in verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession? Who also makes what? And that word intercession in simple form means what? So wait a minute. The Son is also the one praying for us. Does everybody see this? Look up at the screen. So when we break this down, what we see is in verse 24, we are saved in this hope. If we look at verse 26, it says, and it's the Spirit also in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself is praying for us. The Spirit is what? The Spirit is what? Now look at verse 33 and 34, though. And it's him who justifies, but it's also Jesus that's also the one making intercession what? Can I talk about something for a second? You see, verse 28 is quite a phenomenal verse. It's a phenomenal verse because, first of all, it has this phrase tied together where it talks about us being called and us also about his purpose. So in other words, when we recognize that we are called, we know that we are called according to his what? So wherever we're called according to his what? So I'm going to ask you this question. Then where is it that we're trying to justify ourselves? Then where is it that we're trying to measure what you did bad and what you did wrong and what anxiety you went through and how come you lost that thing and how come that relationship broke up? I've got news for everybody that's in here. The Bible says that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And since God knew you before you got in the womb and when you came out and you thought you messed everything up, what makes you believe you messed it up? No, he said, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Why? Because you were in my mind. God thought of you and then he formed you in your mother's womb. It's his destiny in your life. It's his purpose in your life. It's not based on what you can do. It's based on his calling and his purpose. Give the Lord a praise offering in Jesus' name. Wait a minute. This thing gets better. You know why this is a bumper sticker verse? Do you know why everybody got this on their refrigerator? Do you know why this pops on your little save screen? I want to tell you why. Because the Bible says this verse for when we get in situations and we don't know what happened. We know it's not good. It certainly does not. It doesn't feel good. Whatever I'm in right now, God, I need your help. And that's why we pull this verse out. For now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But do you know why that verse has power? Because before the verse comes, the Holy Spirit is praying for you. And after the verse is over, Jesus is praying for you. This is a sandwich between God praying for you. And not only does the Holy Spirit say he's praying for you, he's praying for you according to the will of God. In other words, every now and then I slip in a prayer, but I ain't sweating it. He's praying for me because he's praying perfect prayers for me according to the will of God. And Jesus got my back because then he's praying and interceding for me as he's seated at the right hand of the Father. The next verse says this: that's why I now know nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. My God. Glory to Jesus. I said glory to Jesus. God is praying for us. Glory to God.
My God. Sounds like I only got one responsibility in that whole thing. Just love God. I got one responsibility. Love God. It said a called according to his purpose. It's not even me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 said, it's now him to both will and to do for his good pleasure.
Come on.
I thought I wanted that. That's what he wants. What you want me to do? Just keep looking at me. I'm beautiful. I want you to fix your eyes on me. Because you know what? Every time you blink, I'm going to come back brand new. I'm going to show you how much you can love me because of how much I love you. I dare you to learn how to pour out your love on Jesus Christ, the one who loves us, the one who gave his life for us, the one who's at the right hand for us, the one who spilled his blood for us, the very one that called you, purposed you, justified you, glorified you, predestined you. Do you know what we've been predestined to do? To become to the conformity of the image of the Son. All I'm doing is I'm becoming more like him. Every time I look at God, I'm becoming more like him. Amen. My God. Amen. You just thought you were good at math. God put that in you. How many know that's a blessing? Because no star has to be like the other star. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I told you it was going to hallelujah. Let's see how much more we can get. Can I just do a little bit more? And then we'll dismiss. This is part one of an 18-part series. Here's how we know. I ain't even got to the title yet, Sister Lori. Welcome to BCC Irish. Amen. Hey, we do know this part of the question, though, is this. How to answer God's call upon your life. How to what? Turn to your neighbor and say, I need to know how to answer God's call upon my life. Isn't that a good place to be at? Amen. I'm gonna see if we can run. I'm gonna see if we can run fast through this little part. Is that all right? I think it's. I'm gonna try. Let me see if I can get there. Okay. So what I want us to do right now is go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Finished all the message. I was all done. Slid back from the computer. And I said, yep, I have to finish that next week. 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to read again from the New King James Version. My desire is that Christ would lead us into a very spirit-filled and spirit-led moment. How many know when you have a call on your life and you answer a call, things should change? Say amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. It says this, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, verse 3, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, I'm going to read verse 4 if y'all don't mind. Can I go ahead and read verse 4? That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. Now let me throw this in for just a second. Samuel gets up and he runs into the other room, and he goes to talk to Eli. But because we can't go further into the message today, I just want to put that in context. Is that okay? What I want to do right for a moment is I want to bring your attention to something that these next two, you know, today and next week, I think I can finish it next week, is we're going to be looking at this passage, and there's several different people in the passage of this story. And how many of you know when you read a story or when you read a passage of scripture or something like that, you begin to identify yourself with those in the scriptures? Are you with me? So there are several different people to pay attention to in this passage of scripture. So while we're doing that, I want you to know something else. What I'm about to pick out is not necessarily one of the people. Not right now. So in other words, Pastor, well, how are you going to bring this message to a close? Or how are you going to be able to highlight anything if you're not even going to work with any of the people? You know, if you work with a person, that's going to help us, Pastor. I don't mind you asking that. But there's something else going on in this passage of scripture that is directly related to our theme. Our theme is to help you what?
Shine.
Help you what?
Shine.
It's to help you shine. And since help you shine is our theme, that means that if we're going to help people shine, we also need to know how to learn when things are not shining. Did you catch that? Here's the answer. Because God wants us to shine because things are not shining. Did you catch that? You see, in this particular passage of scripture, did you notice that this phrase came out? It's called the lamp of God. Did you see that? Say the lamp of God. In this passage of scripture, it says the lamp of God. And I want you to know something about this, because then it says this little statement. It doesn't matter, you know, it says it in different translations. I think there's only one translation that says that the light went out. But in all other translations, it makes this known. And the light had almost gone out. The light almost had gone what?
Out.
The light had almost gone what?
Out.
You got to catch this, because here is the apex of where we want to reveal our message. You see, here it is in the tabernacle, and right there, the Bible obviously says that Samuel was there, and he was lying near the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm going to show some pictures in a minute, and as he's lying there, the scripture makes this statement, and it says that, and the lamp, or the light, had not gone out yet. It had not gone out what?
Yes.
Had not gone out what? There's two things I want you to understand about that light. First of all, there in the tabernacle, it literally says it had not gone out, or it had not went out. So can I tell you what the title is? I think it's up here. Maybe I think it's. Here's the title of the message. Light's about out. You gotta write that down. You got to catch that or take a picture, do something. Light's about out. Say that with me. The reason we're talking about the light's about out is because we want to compare it and parallel it to the times in which we're living. Are you catching me? I mean, we can't go anywhere. We can't do anything anymore without there being something that somebody wants to bring up about something that's not good or something that's not going right or something that's not is still lingering and something is still going on and somewhere, somehow, people are not being treated right or somewhere, somehow, there was an argument. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad at the end of the message, but I'm just trying to make you understand that you can't even turn on the Olympics without understanding that there's something going on where people are being oppressed or something is going on where somebody is exercising something that is to be in question, even though we may not know the answers to it. All I'm trying to get you to understand is that people feel like, and teenagers and young adults and millennials and Gen Zs and anxieties and things that are going on in this world just feels like light's almost out. Doesn't it? Light's about out. Are you with me? That's what the passage just said. The passage just said, and the light was not out. Two things of what that means, though. How many of you know if the light goes out, then it's going to be what? If the light goes out, it's going to be what? But the light hadn't gone out yet, so it wasn't yet. All I'm trying to let you know is where we're at, because the second point is just like that. This particular detail in the scriptures is also letting us know what time it is. You see, scholarly understanding is that when you understand, oh man, let me just show you some of the pictures, you'll get what I'm talking about. Can't keep that together. In Exodus chapter 27, verses 20 to 21, it gives a detail of what the priests and what those that were supposed to do, thank you, honey, of what they were supposed to do in the tabernacle, and that is this. First of all, let me hurry up. One of the things I want you to understand is, for me, and I don't mind, you know, letting out my ignorance and what I don't know in the Bible and stuff like that. I don't mind that. Listen, but every time I've read about the tabernacle and everything like that, I always thought that the candlestick was on the table. I thought that's what they had to deal with. But no, how many understand that this thing is huge? Everybody see that? In other words, other pictures that I could show you is that this is bigger than people. We'll talk about some of that next week. This thing is bigger than people. And so we see this little young boy here, and maybe that was kind of like a Samuel, and he's reaching up, and he's trying to take care of the oil that he's supposed to make sure is going on. I want you to understand the text. The text is simply this. When the scripture says that the light was almost out, it lets us know what time it is. Because in Exodus chapter 27, verse 20, 21, it says that they were supposed to care for the lamp from evening till morning. So all the scholars says this is before dawn. Has everybody got that? This is before what?
Dawn.
This is before what?
Dawn.
That means it's still what?
Dark.
But the light hadn't gone out. I just want to say to us today, I believe we're in a light almost out. But that doesn't mean the light is out. And if that means the light is not out, that's why we're over here talking about we've got to let it shine. Because it's time for us to rise up. Because you know what Samuel represents? Are you with me? There's so much I could go through. You know what Samuel represents? The Bible says he was near the Ark of the Covenant. This is what it means. The Ark of the Covenant deals with the presence of God. That means he was with the presence of God. The Bible says this, that he was near it and he was there sleeping. In other words, Samuel, watch this, Samuel was the one nearest the presence of God. And that was a symbol of hope. It was a symbol of hope. Last little part. Let me tell you why it was a symbol of hope. Say call. Everyone say call. Super fast. His mother has a miracle baby. Her name is Hannah. I'll go over it next week. His name is Hannah. But Hannah was barren. Hannah was what?
Barren.
Does anybody ever feel that way sometime? Even though you might have a purpose, but you don't feel like you have it. Even though you thought you were supposed to be doing something, but you feel like you're empty. How many know you might feel like, you know what, somebody prayed over you, but you did nothing happen, and so I don't know if that was real or not. In other words, she was barren. But her name, did you understand what her name meant? Everybody say Hannah.
Hannah.
Hannah means grace. That's an oxymoron. How can my name be Hannah, which means grace, and I can't produce? You see, that doesn't even fit. But she has a rival, because in those historical days, the man had another wife, and I can't pronounce her name, but it's like help me out, somebody. Penina. And so guess what? Penina, she was producing. But she kind of had a bad spirit, though. She kind of had a mean spirit. Are you with me? But guess what her name means? Jewel. What am I trying to say to us in this room and those that's watching online is that how many know many of us, if you can admit, we always choose the jewel more than we choose the things of God. Because how many know we always want to go for what's producing? The one that's giving you what you want. The one that's giving the things that you need. The one that's kicking out everything that you think that you wanted and taking care of you. How many know we gravitate towards the natural while we leave empty over here because grace is not doing it? Are you with me? But I want you to understand, Samuel came from Hannah. Are you there? We never heard about the rest of her or her children anymore, but we did hear about Samuel. He became the first prophet unto the children of Israel. Not only that, later on he anoints David, and David becomes the one that gives the seed. Out of him comes Jesus. Somebody say amen. All I'm trying to say is that sometimes we need to be patient for the promises of God, even though the natural look like it's doing something, even though it feels like it's a jewel. I would rather have the grace every time. I don't want the things that the jewel can produce. I want the things that only God can produce, because that's of the natural, and this is of the supernatural. This is of the spirit. This is of the promises of God. This is what Jesus prayed over me. This is what Jesus prophesied over me. Oh, you don't understand. I'd rather have my call than a job. I'd rather have my call than just
just make a dollar. I'd rather have a call than just have a husband. I'd rather have a call in my life because it's always greater. I don't need a date if it ain't the right date. I need to have divineness in my life. I want Jesus to give me more and more of his grace to produce the miracles in my life. Say call.
Samuel's name means to hear, to listen to, and guess what? To obey. His name means to hear, to listen to, and what? And to obey. Get this. And the progression of his name later on means to tell, to cause others to hear. You didn't get that. He became a prophet because he could hear, he could listen to, and he could obey. So then one day he becomes the one that hears, obeys, tells, and proclaims.
Tell me whatever you say, God,
and I'll tell it to your people. Whatever I just heard you say, God, I'll make sure I share it with others.
And that's why we need to be those that will shine in this world. Because if we start hearing more from God, we can start living out our lives to tell more about the goodness of God, his grace, his glory, and that God is who we need in today's day. Give the Lord a big praise offering, if you will. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that in John chapter 8, your word says, Jesus, you are the light of the world. And though it's a mystery and I don't know how you do it and I just want to be a part of it, God, but you say in Matthew chapter 5, we are the light of the world. So, Lord, I know that we were designed that as you are, so are we in this world. And therefore, God, we want to be those that would shine brightly. We want to be those, Lord God, that give you glory. We want to be the ones that would answer the call and live in our purpose. We want to walk in rejoicing, and we want to be able to let the light shine so that men might see our good works and glorify you, the Father in heaven, so that people might know that there is a Savior and that this world is not just as they think it is, because your kingdom is greater than all other kingdoms. We want you, Jesus, to be glorified in all of who we are. And it's in your name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Would you give the Lord a big shout if you would? Come on. Come on.